Hilchos Geiris is central to the story of Klal Yisrael. And it's true in Hashkafa, and it's true in Halacha as well. Rabbi Shechter likes to quote the Rashbam comments when the bracha, Rabbi Shalom Gustav Ravavinu, V'nivrachu b'cha, kal mishpachos ha'adama, usually assume it's Miloshen bracha, that all the Umas Olam will give a bracha to the children, you should be like Avraham Avinu. Rashbam says it's Miloshen havracha, intertwining. V'nivrachu b'cha means Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu, you're going to establish Am Yisrael, but they're not all going to be biological descendants of yours. All the families of the world will intermingle with the Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because Am Yisrael is not an ethnic group. Am Yisrael is not an ethnic group. Any human being who wants to be part of Am Yisrael could become part of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is truly not racist. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. That's the idea of Geirus. And not only is Geirus, was Geirus something that Avraham Avinu was told, and that's perhaps part of the meaning of him, Avraham Avinu being Av Hamon Goyim, he would establish an Am that would encompass people from many different ethnic backgrounds. And there is a machlokas at Tanoim, a machlokas Bali Tosis at Paskin, with Rambam Paskins, that machlokas in Bikurim, Rambam Paskins, that a ger does refer uses the terminology of Elokei Avoseinu, in Davidin, in Mikra Bikurim, and so on and so forth, that we do, Alpi didn't see him as a child of Avraham Avinu, not biologically, but a spiritual descendant of Avraham Avinu. And that's reflected in the Seder HaTefillah, it's reflected in Mikra Bikurim. Not only is Geirus, a detail that was already mentioned to Avraham Avinu at the formation of Am Yisrael, but the Gemara says, and this, we saw, that all these dinim, come the Sugis and Krisis and Yavamas, learn the entire process of Geirus, the steps of the process of Geirus come from Har Sinai. If you stop and think about that for a moment, it means every Jew is a Ger, or every Jew is descended from Gerim. Because the Gemara understands that Am Yisrael underwent all of the Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all of the biological descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that went through Galus Mitzrayim, had to undergo Gerus. Now, I think Naftali Trump has a discussion that maybe there was a Shem Yisrael without Kedushas Yisrael beforehand, maybe that was sort of a unique situation. It speaks to the question of Avos Kodem Matan Torah, to what extent were they keeping mitzvahs? But even though they may have had some status as Bnei, the Jews in Mitzrayim, and after they left Mitzrayim before Har Sinai, they may have had some degree of status, some sort of Shem Yisrael, because they were descended from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but certainly the Kedushas Yisrael was chal at the time of Mahamad Har Sinai. Kedushas Yisrael was chal through a process of Geirus, and every individual non-Jew who comes to undergo Geirus is recreating Har Sinai. He's recreating those aspects of Mahamad Har Sinai that contributed to the Geirus, to Kedushas Yisrael of Am Yisrael. That's why Al Pidin, there are four elements of the four steps of the Geirus. There's the Mila and the Tevila and the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. Or we could say the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, the Mila, the Tevila, and then the Karban as well. Karban comes up increases. The Karban comes up increases. In the Kanz Mishnah, there's talk about Mechusare Kapara. Mechusare Kapara are people who need a carbon in order to complete their tahara process, in order to complete the completion of a nazirus and so forth. So the Mishnah there talks about the carbon hager as apparently in line with the rest of the mechusari kapara. So the Gemara says that all these steps were undergone by Kal Yisrael at Mamon Har Sinai or leading up to Mamon Har Sinai. The bris that they had in Mitzrayim was not only to be machsh them for Karban Pesach, There was also about Tzicheh Am Tapnus Akim Haraza. It was part of the bris, the time of Mamad Har Sinai, time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the night before, the day before Yitzias Mitzrayim, in advance of Karim Pesach, was also meant to be lead up to, was meant to lead up to the Geirus. That was the Nila. The Gemara says, you saw the Gemara says that the Gemiri the Enazav Lo Tfila. So obviously there was, if there was Hazav the Dam HaKarban on the Kali, so obviously there must have been Tfila. And they had a Karban. And they had a Karban. They brought Karbanas, and the Gemara understands that that's Ladoros, a Ger has to bring a Karban Ola. It could bring a Karban Ola to Behemoth, it could bring a Karban Ola to Oaf. The Briskerav, you may want to take a look at. Briskerav develops the idea in Maaseh Karbanos. It's the Briskerav on Maseches Kinim. It's the one piece in Sefer very relevant to Kinim where he develops the idea that although it is possible to bring a single Karban Ha'ov, and usually when you bring a pair, it's Ola and a Chatas, Yoledes, in other cases where you mechud bring Ola and Chatas, the ger brings a pair of olos. So he could bring a single carbon behema, olos behema, or he could bring a cane, a pair of olos a'ov. So the Briskerav, a very, very beautiful shtickle, he develops the idea that the fundamental shear of carbon ha'ov is a pair. You can bring it, it's conceivable to bring a gozel, you can bring a single bernal bikasha, but the basic unit of carbon ha'ov is a pair. Is a cane. Not just because typically there's a chiyuv to bring a chatzis and an ola, so to have both you need to add two birds, but that's fundamental. There's a number of rights, and one of them is that the ger is supposed to bring a pair of birds, not just a single bird. So you see that the basic shear of a karban ha'ov is a pair. The Gemara says, as you saw, that does not appear in Shulchan Aruch. So why doesn't it appear in Shulchan Aruch? Because the Gemara says, I would have thought that there shouldn't be hilchos geiros in Shulchan Aruch because you can't have a carbon, so there's nothing. The Gemara says, "Darshan l'daros seichem," that since the pasuk says that geiros will be relevant throughout the generations, obviously geiros is relevant even bisman she'ein beis hamikdash kaim. So apparently, you can become a ger bisman hazeh without a carbon. So Reshech likes to point out that I'll be part. How do you understand that? What do you mean? It didn't. Maybe that means the Dar Seichem that didn't changes. Or no. What was the din Bezman Abayis? The point is, Al Pi Pashtas, even Bezman Abayis, the carbon wasn't Ma'akim, the Geirus, except Lagabe Achilas Kachem. Like other carbonas Mechusari Kapara, there are a lot that appear in that mission increases together with the carbon Hager. It points out that Avnezer does things as a Machalok we've shown him about that. Avnezer does things as a Machalok we've shown him whether Bezman HaMikdash. The carbon hager was absolutely ma'akev across the board, but we do not accept that. We assume that the carbon hager is l'doro seichem is megala that the carbon hager is not ma'akev in kedushas Israel. It's only ma'akev to the extent of mechusar kapara that it can't eat the carbonas. But that's a din. The din is the same whether it's a base of mikdash or not base of mikdash. The carbon is generally not ma'akev kedushas Israel, except with respect to chiyas kachem. The bezman says no chiyas kachem, anyways. So it doesn't chap enough kamina. Now, so I have to point out that this also this question does have relevance bezman hazeh. This question, the Dor HaSeichem doesn't make it to the page in Shulchan Aruch. They just don't talk about carbon. He points out this question Avinezer raises and how you understand the Dor HaSeichem, whether it's saying that it didn't change or not. So it's relevant to the following. In Sif Aleph, they begin to lay out, you have to have a Mila, and then you're going to have a Tfila. And what do you do if he was Malkishu Akum? So that's that might be a machlokas b'sham b'sil. That's a different day as the Gemara has. Some machlokas b'sham b'sil, whether you need hatavas dan bris or not. So So Shaila the Gemara whether B'Shabbos we're arguing about a ger who's already mahul from when he was a nachri. He was mal shalola shei mitzvah. He just had a medical bris as a non-Jewish baby. Now he wants to become a Yisrael. So that's one version of the Gemara is that there was Machlos B'Shan Basil about that. B'Shan Basil said you don't need a Tavis Dan Bris. But other versions of the Gemara is that Machlos B'Shan Basil is the Gemara in Blas de Mila is that they were arguing other cases, which we raised so in Hilchos Mila. So we are Machmir Tzedin Shulchan Aruch, that we're not, that it could be the Basil we're Mekel somewhere else. So we're Machmir, that in Malkish Ayakim, Tzarech or Nolan Mahal even. That's a further machlokus in the tour. Tzarech lahati menu dambris. That's what the tour quotes from his father, the Rush. That a ger who does not have an arla requires hatavas dambris, regardless of whether he was Nolan Mahal or he underwent a non-halachic milam. He underwent, the parents wanted for cosmetic reasons or for hygienic reasons, for medical reasons. They did a bris mila, the non-Jewish parents on their non-Jewish baby. And then years later, he wants to become a ger. He needs a tafas dam bris. He needs a tafas dam bris. Then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, this is a tour quote from Gaonim, Im nichras hagid, ein milaso makeves milahiz gayer. If he does not have normal genitalia, there is no option to do a bris mila. There's no erla. And there isn't even a way to do a tafas dam bris, ein milaso makeves milahiz gayer, sagalei betvil. The same, just like the Gemara says, women can undergo geiros. Obviously, there's no mila. The woman does not need a mila. She just has kabbalah, some mitzvahs, and tefila. So the Torah Shulchan Aruch quote from the Gaonim. The Torah Shulchan Aruch quote from the Gaonim that the same is true for this man who doesn't have a normal aver. The question is that's Baruch Hashem a very rare, sad and rare scenario. Nichras Hagid. Here's a somewhat more common scenario: is let's say a fellow there's nothing anatomically wrong. It's the case right hand Hilchos Mila. He's Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. So we're worried. No, wait, Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. Hemophiliac. So in Hilchos Mila, talk about Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. A Jewish family, and they did a bris mila on some members of the family, and tragically they lost the baby. So now we know that this child was born later. We already know Mesu Echav Machmas Mila, he lost older brothers to mila, so we're not going to do a mila on him. How about by a ger? So Mesu Echav Machmas Mila literally isn't going to come up. His older brothers probably didn't have a mila. He was born a non-Jew. But let's say doctors were able to figure out independently that the fellow is a hemophiliac. So what do you do for the mila of a hemophiliac? So there was an opinion which is roundly rejected. Rav Shechter presents as a machlokes between Itzel Panovizer and versus Reb Chaim Eizer and all the other poskim of the time. So apparently Itzel Panovizer felt that if there's no way to do a mila, you're not going to do hatavas dam bris because he's a hemophiliac. So then the mila is not makiv. He says that's the din l'dar seichem. That's what Itzel Panovizer said. Look, you have a dilemma with Dar Seichem. If the step is not, whenever that step is not available, so then it's not ma'akev. And Reb Chaim Eizer and the overwhelming majority of poskim roundly rejected that. And you think about the logic for a moment, Reb Itzel is assuming that Lidoros, in other words, Itzel is assuming that Bezman HaBayis carbon was ma'akev. Once you have a base on mikdash, and the carbon is no longer makiv because it's no longer available, and that's the implication of Dar Seichem. So once you take that, if you make that assumption that the carbon was makiv is man habayis, so then you can even take it one leap forward and say maybe it's not just about carbon; it's about any step. It's not just about Dar Seichem. Sounds like periods in Jewish history. He wants to say even here you have this one individual fellow mila is relevant bizman hazeh. We practice mila. This one person can't do a mila. So the itzla was it was several leaps full of charifas, beginning with the assumption that korban was ma'akev bizman habayis, which means l'dar seichem is telling you this new din that steps are unavailable or not ma'akev, and then he was willing to even take that and say even steps are unavailable to one individual person. So Rabbi Yitzchak was willing to make all that hemophiliac can just have tefillah, the same steps of a geirus as a woman. Tefillah, kabbalas al mitzvahs, and tefillah, and that's it. That is not acceptable halacha. I think bizman hazeh, I believe that bizman hazeh, doctors have developed an approach, I believe using lasers. I don't know, I do not know much about this. Approach using lasers to do some sort of hatafas dam bris that might be able to a solution to how to do a mila on a hemophiliac, and that might solve the geirus problem. That could solve the geirus problem potentially as well. Also, there are other medical solutions. And nowadays, medical approaches to hemophilia that have been developed the last couple of decades that sometimes can solve this problem. But again, Al Pipashtas, the carbon was not ma'akev. Al Pipashtas, the Dora Sechem, teaches you something about carbon. The carbon was not really ma'akev for the general Kedusha Yisrael, even Bizman Habayis. It was required, but the ger would get Kedusha Yisrael, maybe except with respect to Achilles Kachin, even without the carbon. But the other three steps, are relevant even in Vana. Zeh, Mila, Tevila, and Kabbal Talmetz. Questions? Yeah.
What's the real difference between the hemophilia and the Nichras Hagid?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Nichras Hagid sounds like the same thing, and he said that it's not ma'akiv. The difference is Nichras Hagid doesn't have a Arla.
Okay, but everyone else. Meaning he's like Onis, just like the...
No, Nichras Hagid doesn't have an Arla.
But he's still a male.
Yeah.
Just like another one, there's a male, and he can't do it because he's
going to
die if
he does it. Yes, no, but in other words, the Mesu Echav Machmas Mila, he is an Arlo. He has a physical Arlo. Nichras Hagid doesn't have an Arlo. Now, you might say, but generally, when you don't have an Arlo, so then we require a Tavos Dam Bris. But as Rabbi Katzen has discussed, the Tavos Dam Bris probably means drawing some blood from the Makom Hamila. So that was a discussion exactly where specifically we did, which point, the right anatomical point for the Tavos Dam Bris. Here, that doesn't even exist. There is no Atara. So there's no Arla and there's no Atara. So that's why the Gaonim said, so that's so then that's the same as Isha Bala Hizkayer. But the Meso Echav Machas Mila is not really the same. He has an Atara and he has an Arla, which just, it's a Sakas Nefashas to take it off. Yeah.
Did you ever catch this? You said that today we would recommend using a clotting agent for the hemophiliac baby?
Right, so that's what I was saying. We have medical solutions. So that's one solution. And I think that some have developed some sort of a laser, which is, I'm not sure what the advantages and disadvantages of the two are. Yeah. Now, in terms of these three steps, so the Shulchan Aruch says, let's first talk about the two physical steps, and then we'll talk about the verbal and mental step. The Mila and Tfila. So the Gemara has a long discussion that gets quoted in Sif Beis. At the type of conversation that we have with the ger leads up to Kabbalas al Mitzvahs, and then when he's ready, Malan Osam Yad. So the Shulchan Aruch has the top of page 30 Beis, in the middle of Sif Beis, Malan Osam Yad. It's quoted from the Gemara, and then you wait at Shi Yisrape, Refuah Shalemi. Wait until it fully heals, and then Magbil and Oso Tefila Hugenis. And then you did Malan right away, and then after he heals, then you do the tefillah. That's what the Ramah quotes the Machlokas in Sif Aleph. It's interesting the way things are organized here. On that line in Sif Beis, in Kibbul Oso Molen Oso Miyad, so the Taz quotes Ramban. Doesn't make reference to Sif Aleph. Very interesting. It's Taz and Sif Katan Dali. So Hikshar Ramban is a Kasha. Malin also miyad. We do the mila right away because we don't want to violate shahuye mitzvah. You have to give the ger as much the prospective ger as much time as he needs to learn and to think it through and to make sure he's committed. And well, and that may take, it does take months, years, however long it takes. You don't rush the process. But once he is ready, let's go. Once he's ready, malon oso miyad. Why? Want to avoid shohuyei mitzvah. But then we have to wait until he heals, until the wound heals, before we do the tefillah. So Hiksha Rambam says, so why not do the reverse? Why not do the tefillah first and then the milah? So the Ramban says, well, kevin shamila kasha alav malin tchila, the iparish yifrosh. The milah is going to be a challenge. So we'd rather do the milah first, so that it sounds like, it may cause some hesitation. So then we know, let's do the tefillah afterwards, but after Ramban says, ideally, you want to do the tefillah afterwards. Ideally, you organize it with milah first and tefillah second, for this reason. But not ma'akid. Now it's interesting. Taz just quotes that kasha teretz without reference. I'm not sure why. Without reference to sifalf. Sifalf, the Rama says beferish. He says the machlokas whether that order is ma'akev or not. You're supposed to be molin and tovlin. How about the reverse? The Rama says beferish. Tovlin called shemol molad debidiavet avitfila. That's the shita of the Ramban. But yeisham and lo avitfila. Ruki Yosef says based on the ra'ah, no. It's surprising that the Taz just like presents a Ramban without reference to Fal, without reference to the fact of the Cholik. Not sure why. Not sure, but that is the Machlokas. The Ra'ah holds its Ma'akev. Tosis suggests it's Ma'akev. And so the Shach says, Halach HaLamaisa, when that happens, you do another thing. If you did the tefillah and they did the milah, then we figure out that mistake happened. We'll do another tefillah. That apparently happens from time to time. That apparently happens. Sometimes someone was writing a geiris. People writing a geiris didn't know the dinim, and sometimes sometimes you'll find that years later. Sometimes there'll be. A single fellow underwent a geiris, and then he sits down with his Masada Kiddushin years later, he's ready to get married. Masada Kiddushin, part of what Masada Kiddushin will do in a pre-wedding meeting is sort of to sort out all the issues of yichas and make sure everything makes sense, that the couple are allowed to get married. So you'll ask about any first marriages, second marriages, any conversions. And if there's a conversion, so let's talk about what it was like. And sometimes the Masada Kiddush will describe to me what it was like. Oh, we did the tefillah, then we did the meal. He said, well, one second. That one has an easy solution. We'll have you go to mikveh again, l'shem geiris. The meal of l'shem geiris you already have. We'll have you go to mikveh again, l'shem geiris. And that'll be to be choshesh for the shita of the ra'ah and the tosas and others that the seder is ma'akev. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch points out that you have the full dinim of tefillah. It's the same as tefillas nida. Just to explain a little bit what that's about, men's mikvos, quote unquote, are often not really kosher mikvos. And there is a concept of takanas Ezra, balkeri should be tovel before he learns, before he davens in particular. Which we assume is not required in Ikra Adin, but some are machmer for, or at least in advance of Shabbos or in advance of Yom Tov. So for that, the Gemara says that's a din d'rabbanan, tefillas balkari in order to eat truman kachem a din d'oraisa, but tefillas balkari before davening on Shabbos Yom Tov. So that's maximum din d'rabbanan b'zman hazeh minhag. So the Gemara says for that. Built into the takana was that there are alternatives to mikveh. You can use tisha kaben, and that we don't apply all the rules of mikveh. So that's why the mikveh is built just for men's tefillah. It is often not really kashrim in HaTorah. It should not be used for tefillas nida. It should not be used for tefillas kalim. Tefillas kalim requires a real mikveh. And it should not be used for tefillas agar. The Ramah also talks about Shulchan Aruch does, and Ramah discusses further that you have to tefillas ager like a tefillas nida. You have to be careful about chatzitza, and he has to prepare himself his body in advance, make sure he has no chatzitzas. And then you have Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. So it's interesting that you have Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs twice. You're reading through Sif Beis, which is really quoting from Yevamos, the double Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. You're sort of wondering what happened there. Because Kibbal also in the middle of Sif Beis. Molo Sim Yad, Mamtina Lo Achi Yisrape, then Matbil also, a proper tefila without chatzitzas, all the details of the Ramah. And you have the Shlosha Ol Nidon Gaba, we'll get back to the Beis in a moment. Modino Sim Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalas, Mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamuras, pam sheniya, u'omid b'mayim, up neck deep in the water, where he chazer over again. But as Rosh Hashanah, it's a second time. The first time is the long, long discussion, the first half of Sif Beis, which is that long brisa in Yevamos. Very fascinating, as an aside. It's, I believe, one of the only places, maybe the only place in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Mechaber speaks in the Shulchan Aruch, discusses Hashkafa and discusses Ikari Emuna. The Mechaber definitely accepted Hashkafa and Ikari Emuna, clearly. It's clear for a wide variety of reasons, including many other of his writings. But Shulchan Aruch is a halachic work, and he really left it out. Unlike the Rambam, who included Emuna and Hashkafa very, very thoroughly in his halachic work, that's probably part of a larger trend in Rambam that in Mishneh Torah he was writing on halacha with the broadest sense of corpus and the broadest sense, I should say, of range. He was including even halacha which not nogeh b'zman hazeh, Zeram Kat Shem Taras, and he was including emuna and hashkafa. But Shulchan Aruch follows the riff and the tour in not including Zeram Kat Shem Taras in his corpus. Zeram he does, because it's relevant for those who live in Eretz Yisrael, and he does not include, generally does not include Emuna. There is some discussion on Hashkafa and Archaim. Talks about B'chal Drachecha De'ehu, that's a simon in the middle of Archaim Chelek Alf. And here, this is one of the longest presentations on Hashkafa, and certainly on Emuna. He talks about Chayom Haba in the context of the lengthier Kishabal Hiskayer, the lengthier Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs that happens before. Now this is part of a longer conversation. Part of a long conversation. You have to make sure he knows halacha, you have to make sure he understands the ownership of mitzvahs, you have to make sure he understands Hashkafa and Emunah, all that has to be in place. And then when he's neck deep in the water, you're not going to... The learning, the first part of the Sif takes months or more commonly a year or two or more. A lot of learning, a lot of thinking, a lot of figuring out, is this what I want? And many people start, and then as they learn more, they realize it's not for them. That's fine. And a lot, this is a lot of learning. Typically, practically speaking, a Beis Din Legeris doesn't only meet the Ger at the Mikveh. The Beis Din Legeris, they're ongoing conversations. Depending on how they run it, it'll be every month, every 2 months. They'll check in with the Ger. A fellow wants to be Mizkagshikibalis Gayer. But the way we, implement the Omrim Law is there'll be initial conversation, and then we'll send, they say, you're really interested. If it sounds like he's actually interested, it sounds like he's a stable person, and that he has real interest or real motivation, so then we'll send him off to some... to a yeshiva or an individual that teaches here, their courses. And then the Beis Din will check in with him periodically. Let's see how he's doing, let's see how much he's learning, how much he's beginning to keep, and how committed he is. We'll try to gauge whether this makes sense, whether this is a good trajectory. And that's sort of the way we implement the first half of the Brisa, the first half of Sif Beis. And then, at the end of the process, now he's finally ready, he's learned Halacha Hashkafa, he knows what he needs to know, and he's really committed, and he's grown, the relationship is between him and the Rosh Shlomo, and him and Tar Mitzvah has grown, and then we're ready. When he's ready, then in Molo Samayad, etc., etc., etc. And then we do the Bris Milah, and then let him heal, and then at the Mikvah, the Beis Din is going to be there at the Mikvah, and when he's neck deep in water, he obviously let him get into the Mikvah first, and then he calls when he's ready for the Beis Din to come in. And they, there's a Like a lot of the Batei Din have sort of like a standard round of questions, like 10 questions or so, through which we're Mekayim, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos, and Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuris. Some of the easier Mitzvahs, some of the harder Mitzvahs. Go through a couple of examples. Then we ask, are you Mekabal, Kol, Tarkuli, everything, even things you haven't learned yet. And we review some of the Inyan Hashkaf with him, Alam Hazen, Alam Haba, and Onshim, and so on and so forth. And then he goes in. And then he goes in, and when he comes out, then he's Yisrael Lechol Dover. Okay, Mishatava or Yisrael Lechol Dover. Yeah, question.
Oh yeah, I think I saw that you like cut your nails.
Yeah, that's what Rama talks about. That part of the preparation, like a nido is going to mikvah. That's Rama said the ger as well should even cut his hair and trim his nails and fully prepare to remove all chatzitzas.
How short should his hair be?
Then the normal length, as opposed to when it's overgrown. But that doesn't mean he has to get a chalaka. That not, but he should be fully presentable. As opposed to, he already has excess hair that he would want to take off, but he hasn't taken off yet. And if you plan to take a shave, if he's growing a beard, to grow a beard. If you're planning to shave, so then don't go to mikveh and then shave afterwards. Shave it off before him. Yeah, so that's the fact that there are these two Kabbalos al mitzvahs are also important for what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Sif Yud Beis. In Sif Yud Beis, the very end of the Siman, quoting from the language of the Rambam, ideally you make sure that the ger is. Ideally, you should make sure that the ger's motivations are pure. You want to make sure that he's not becoming a ger just because he thinks he'll make more money that way. He's not becoming a ger because he wants to get a quick road to citizenship in the state of Israel, or he wants a political role. You want to make sure he's not becoming a ger because there's a Jewish girl that he wants to marry, or if it's a gioris, because there's a Jewish boy she wants to marry. But then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, "Im lo bat grachra." If you didn't ask this, ideally you ask the question. Ideally you want to see, and particularly if you're concerned that there's some external motivation, so you lay on thick. Mitzvahs are not easy. Taka is true. Mitzvahs are not easy. They are incredibly valuable, and they are not easy. Like. The vast majority of valuable things in the world take real work. The most valuable thing in the world definitely takes an enormous amount of amal. So you lay it on thick, and if he's, but if he says he's absolutely committed, this is what he wants a life of Torah mitzvahs, grab it. Then the Kabbalah, so the Chazru me'ava, like Naamin Rus, the Kabbalah, some Gevaldik, and then we accept you with open arms. But the Shulchan quotes for our Ramam, how about Lobak? Let's say he didn't do this check. We didn't do a background check. We didn't do any research to figure out what his motivation is. Or, lo ho diyuhu, schar ha-mitzvah va'onshan. They didn't do the Kabbalah sal mitzvahs, it sounds like. But he did mila, he did tefila, harei ze ger. Harei ze ger. Harei ze ger. And even if you find out there was some ulterior motive. Harei ze ger, but Shalom says, let's make sure he does indeed keep mitzvahs. We'll see that he does indeed keep mitzvahs. So this Rabban Shulchan Aruch were misquoted as saying, aha, you see that Kabbalah sal mitzvahs not ma'akev. All it's ma'akev is milah and tefillah. So you have a nachri who had no interest in keeping mitzvahs. He underwent milah and tefillah. So he's a Jew. So that's what the many achronim pointed out. Chaim Eizer and the Rav of Moshe, that's an incorrect reading of the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch. This takes us back to the two Kabbalos ol mitzvahs. He's talking about you didn't do the formal Kabbalah. So he didn't do the formality. The formality of he's neck deep in the water and you review everything with him. So if you didn't do that, it's still the Geras is still kosher. But if there actually wasn't any, not the procedure of Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, but if there was no Kabbalah, if the Ger has no interest in keeping Halacha, if there was no internal Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, so then that is absolutely Makkah. That's not even a step in Geras. That is the essence of Geras. The essence of Geras is Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. The steps, the Maisa Geras is the Mila and the Tula. And that's why, if you read the Rambam Shulchan Aruch slowly and carefully, that's what he says. You did a Mila and Tefillah without the formal the formal act of Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Choshu Shalachi is Bar Tzidkaso. Let's see what happens. And we want to see that at least initially a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. If he never keeps, that's supposed to be right. If there was no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah and he never kept Mitzvah even initially, so then it wasn't Chal. If he kept Mitzvah initially, if there was a some degree of authentic, genuine Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah, and then later on, he has buyer's remorse and decides he's no longer interested in keeping Yadus. And at that point we say, as we say both at the end of Sif Yud Beis and the end of Sif Beis, that's called Ger Shechazal Usuro. Once he had a valid Mila and Tvila, and ideally the act of Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, at the very least an internal, authentic Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, so then if subsequently he wants to revert, so at that point we say your conversion is not reversible, and he's Ki Yisrael Mumur. He's a Jew, not keeping the halacha. Kish Kiddush, Kiddush, and so on and so on. So those are some of the issues in terms of Mila Tevila and Kabbalah Al Mitzvahs. The Shulchan Aruch goes on to discuss in Sifrim Gimel and Dalid. He already mentions the obvious of Beis when he describes the Seder Ageris that you have to have a Beisdin, and that the Gemara dashed from Psukim. Mishpach Sifbe, you have to have a Beisdin. So Shechter calls a very nice shtickle from Yeshua. Yeshua of Kutna, say two kashas. We learn everything of Har Sinai, so there was no base in Har Sinai. All of a sudden, now we have a new drasha of Mishpat Tivbe. If it wasn't Har Sinai, if everything's based in Har Sinai, so number one, there was no base in Har Sinai, so why do we need a base if they didn't? And on the other hand, what they did have at Har Sinai that we don't have is Gila Shechina. Your beam is geyer to become, to connect Ribbono Shel Olam. So Ribbono Shel Olam was there. There was Gila Shechina, Har Sinai. So why don't we require that? Sounds like a funny question, but you say, well, L'dor HaSeichem. So Yeshua of Kutna said more. He said, the second kash is the answer to the first kash. He suggested that fundamentally, Geiris is a contract, so to speak. Geiris is a formation of relationship between the Geir and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's why at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Gilui Shechina. L'doros, instead of Gilui Shechina, instead of the sort of obvious Gilui Shechina, I should say, that was present at Har Sinai, so Elokim Nitzav Badaskel, there's some degree of Gilui Shechina when you have a Bezin. So you have a Bezin, he suggests, in order to produce some degree of Gilui Shechina. You have a Beis Din there to produce some degree of Gilui Shechina. And then other Achronim suggest, and I think the Biskrav has at least a piece of this idea, that the Beis Din might also be there. It certainly, it speaks to a third question, which is, why do you have a Beis Din? Meaning, what does the Beis Din do? The Beis Din is not being done. I mean, what's the Beis Din's role? So it could be the Beis Din is there, you know, to provide the Gilui Shechina. Some suggest, and this is what the Beis Din suggests in other contexts, that that Beis Din sometimes is there to represent Klal Yisrael. If you go back to the very opening Mishnah of Sanhedrin, that sometimes for instance, let's say in Horius, right? The Pesukim say that a Jew violates Beshogig, if Jew violates Beshogig and Aver, which the Mezer would be Chayiv Kares, so a Jew is Mechal Shabbos, and Mezer is Chayiv Kares. Jews over there are Mezer Chayiv Kares. Igbal Arai is Chayiv Kares. If he did a Beshogig, so then he brings the Karpon Chatas. How about if Am Yisrael does such a Aver Beshogig? So the Torah says, if Am Yisrael did a Aver Beshogig, then instead of having a carbon yachid, you have a carbon seba. So what says Am Yisrael din aver b'shogeg? How do you have a chet of Am Yisrael? Well, we each have our own hands and feet. So number one, it means that this is the opening topic of Maseches Horus. Number one has to be rove of Klal Yisrael, Ruba Kukulo, and specifically those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, because Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are lo ikru kahal. The Jew is equally Jewish no matter where in the world he lives, but his membership in Klal Yisrael is only complete when he lives in our national homeland. So looking for Rov Klal Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael Fa'alaz Chet, and it was at the behest of the Sanhedrin. That's part of what makes it a Chet HaTzibur. And there are a number of examples that the Beis Din sometimes acts in rather than a judicial role. Usually Beis Din adjudicates. Usually Beis Din is figuring out what the Din should be. And sometimes Beis Din is there in a representative role. So that's what some suggest with Geirus also, that Beis Din is there to represent Klal Yisrael, because Geirus is the Geir is joining Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael has to be there. I can have all Klal Yisrael there. So a Beis Din represents Klal Yisrael. Sometimes you need a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph to represent Klal Yisrael, and by Geirus it's enough to have a Beis Din of Shlosha to represent Klal Yisrael. So this idea, Sarah Shech just connected this to Tshuva of Goren, an odd situation. There was apparently a German non-Jew who was interested in becoming religiously Jewish, but didn't want to become part of the Jewish nation. He wanted to remain part of the German nation, but he wanted to keep mitzvahs. So Rav Goren said that doesn't work. Geirus is not only Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, it's also Amecha Mi. It's Amecha Mi ve'lokayich lokay. It's being part of Am Yisrael. There has to be a national identification. At the same time, obviously, the reverse is true also. It can't only, if it, all it is national identification, I want to be part of Am Yisrael. Not just to keep in mitzvahs, I want to be part of Am Yisrael. That's clearly absurd on its face. That's what we talked about before. It needs to be a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. There is, despite, Shefter points out, despite there's a line in the Tshuva's Beis Meir. The Beis Meir was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. We came across a Rabbi Akiva Eiger Beis Meir pairing, you'll remember, in Hilchos Yichud, by the discussion of Pesach Pasuach. So the Beis Meir, who was misread by some, Beis Meir was misread by some to imply that to just want to be part of Am Yisrael already qualifies the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. The Beis Meir spoke about a case where there was around 2 centuries ago, a non-Jewish woman working in a Jewish home for many, many years and knew all about halacha, knew about many, many dinim, and then she came to the Beis Din and she said she's interested in becoming part of Am Yisrael. So they said, okay, great, but you caused a bad moment, we'll come back tomorrow. Let's continue. We want to have this conversation, let's continue the conversation tomorrow. We're in the middle of something. So she went to the mikveh, told the mikveh lady she wants to go to mikveh l'shem geiros. So she said, sure. She came back the next day, she said, I'm done. I had my kabbalah sol mitzvahs with you. And then I went to mikveh. So Beis Meir entertains the possibility that was a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. That's what he's about. She told the Beis Din she wants to be part of Am Yisrael. So maybe that's a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. I should have to point it out. That's no longer true. Meaning, She was planning to keep mitzvahs. She understood what mitzvahs meant. The shaila is, if she just mentioned Am Yisrael and didn't mention specifically she planned to keep mitzvahs, is that also Kabbalah is all mitzvahs? But if all, if you have a contemporary setting, if a non-Jew wants to identify with the Jewish people but doesn't want to keep mitzvahs, that's clearly not Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. That's why I call it Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, because it has to do with mitzvahs. So you have to have both. The ger is accepting mitzvahs and he's becoming part of Am Yisrael. So that's the presence of the Beis Din may be. The presence of the Beis Din may be to represent Am Yisrael, welcome into Am Yisrael, or maybe to create the Gilui, to evoke the Gilui Shechina, similar to what you had at Har Sinai. So that's Nafka Mina may also have to do with the following. The Beis Din has to be a real Beis Din. The Beis Din has to be a real Beis Din. That's what it says in Sif Gimel. You have to have Shlosha Aksherim Ladun Uvayom. That's what Tosa talks about. It has to be just like any other Maisa Beis Din. Has to be during the daytime. And you have to have three people who are Kosher Ladun. Bidiyaved is a Machokas. That's what Shulchan Aruch represents both days. If you did the Mila or Tvila Balayla, you did the Mila Tvila without a Kasher Beis Din, less than three people, or they were Krovim, on the page. The Beis Din, you can't have the, even if it's some far-flung place, there aren't that many people who can serve in the Beis Din, you can't have a father and two sons, or a couple of brothers serve as the Beis Din. It can't be Krovim Zelda. If you did have the Mila Tvila Shalo Bifnei Beis Din, that's a machlokas. Is b'diavad, is Kabbalah's all mitzvahs bifnei Beis Din enough, and the milat tefillah could be shlo bifnei Beis Din or not? That's a machlokas. That's a pretty serious shaila. That's a pretty serious shaila. We would definitely want them to redo, and that's why The question is, how about the ger's father? Can he serve in the Beis Din? I mean, the ger's father. So we'll talk next time more about ger katan. Talk next time about ger katan. But let's say you have a Jewish family that's going. The Jewish couple is adopting a non-Jewish baby, and he's going to be the Megayim, we'll get to the Sugya of Ger Katan. So, the adoptive father is not related to the baby. Certainly not before he goes to Mekveh. Even afterwards, he's going to raise him like his own child. But not, he's not by, neither halachically nor biologically a Karov. But he is an Ogei Bedavar. He is an Ogei Bedavar. He clearly is interested in this Ger himself. He's emotionally, he's not genetically his father. It's not halachically his father in the narrow sense, in terms of kurva. He may well be his father from a kibbutz avim perspective because he's going to raise him and because they're emotionally invested in one another. Emotionally, he's definitely father. That's where they're adopting this child. That's where they're going through with the ger katan issue. So that's the question. He's not. There's no psul karov, but the question is. The question is, he's an Ogei Bedavar. So that's what some say. It depends what the role of the Beis Din. If the Beis Din is there purely as a formality, Kima Davar, so then maybe an Ogei Bedavar doesn't really matter. But if you see the Beis Din as more active, like we said before, they're representing Am Yisrael, they're representing bringing Shechina, so then it may you might want to avoid relying on the adoptive father as one of the members of the Beis Din. Nafkamina Lamaisa is the following. Let's close with two points Lamaisa. And the first one is a Nafkamina, this issue with the adoptive father. Who needs the adoptive father to get someone else? The answer is, in many cases of a Ger Katan, practically speaking, Ger Katan, Ger katan comes up if you're adopting a child, or ger katan can sometimes come up if in a situation where you have the poskim discuss what the story, how you determine motherhood in a situation where there's one genetic mother and another gestational mother. One woman provides the egg, and the other woman carries the baby to term. Sometimes you have a woman who's unable to produce her own eggs, so you'll have a donor egg, but she'll carry the baby herself. Sometimes the reverse. It's her own egg, but she's unable to carry the baby, so they'll have a surrogate mother. So a big discussion in poskim, who's the mother lahalacha? So let's say one of the parties is not Jewish. So then oftentimes, every child has to be dealt with, but oftentimes will l'chumra do a geirus. Will l'chumra do a geirus in case the halachic mother is the non-Jewish surrogate mother, or the halachic mother is a non-Jewish egg donor. So to cover our bases, we'll perform a geirus, and that way for sure the child is Jewish. Either his mother, his practical mother, is his halachic mother or not. But either way, the child knows that he's Jewish. So that's one of the more unusual cases of ger katan. Now, in that case, often out of sensitivity, you're not going to necessarily let everyone. Families often not interested in sharing that information. There was a surrogate mother, or there was an egg donor. So, but you want to, as the Shulchan Aruch says, b'di'evad machlokes whether a mila tefila works without the beis din. B'chatchila, obviously, we require it. So how do you have the mila b'fnei beis din? The mila b'fnei beis din, the meal is being celebrated with the whole family. If no one else knows that this is a mila l'shem geirus, this is a mila. The baby was born last week. So often what will happen is there'll be three people there who are aware that this is a mila l'shem geirus. Typically the mohel, you want the mohel to do a mila l'shem geirus, the discussion, if he did the mila l'shem mitzvah, and didn't mila l'shem geirus, it's a question. We are mekel, but ideally you would want the mohel to know l'shem geirus. And then you have two other people there who know. Two rabbanim who are there will be aware that this is going to be you're watching the geirus. You want to share the information with as few people as possible, but we would rather not rely on the adoptive. The father knows. The father is very much an ogeh b'davar. He may or may not be a karov. If it's a geirus, then he's not a karov. But he's obviously an ogeh b'davar. So ideally, you want to have the mohel and two other non-family members, or at least who are aware, and they serve as the beis din l'shem geirus. And finally, Shulchan Aruch has a discussion of what you do with a giyores, a potential giyores. You want to have bishnei beis din. You also obviously want to balance that with sensitivity and tznius. That's that there are different approaches in poskim, how that works, whether the beis din is outside and they rely on the... they'll do the kabbalah sal mitzvah with her beforehand, and they'll talk through the doorway, but they can't see her, or whether the Shulchan Aruch seems to present, the woman wears a robe. Obviously, Beis Din is nowhere nearby when she's getting into the mikveh. She's there with the mikveh attendant. And the mikveh lady helps her into the mikveh, makes sure she has no chatzitzas, and then puts on a robe. And a loose robe under the water, so she's dressed and in the mikveh. And then the Beis Din comes in, a bit tznius, full tznius, and with sensitivity to her own comfort. And you have the conversation, the final Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, and then she goes on to the mikveh. As soon as she goes on to the mikveh, the dayanim leave. So that was a machlokas. I think Tresor calls it Dayan Grasnas, and Moshe Feinstein argued very much in favor of what appears to be appearance in Shulchan Aruch, which is the Beis Din should be present in a way that balances both the presence of the Beis Din to the extent necessary, together with tznius and the sensitivity to the feelings of the giyors. Let's see how